on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Lagos, Nigeria. Very lovely morning to you. Thank you for joining us on the last hour of the show, the morning crossfire. Let's get on with our conversation for today. We told you that before the inauguration of the president-elect, the next president of Nigeria, would have a review of what's been like, talking about the outgoing administration of Muhammadu Buhari for the last 8 years. And we had this conversation a few weeks ago, but we couldn't finish it. Paul Alaje is rejoining us on that conversation right now. Paul is a senior economist and partner at SPM Professionals. Paul, a very lovely morning to you. Thank you again for rejoining us this morning.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you so very much for having me.
It's good to have you. Now, let's begin because, you know, the other time we couldn't finish. Let's jump in right into it. I'd like to hear your submission on the performance of the outgoing administration of Muhammadu Buhari in terms of infrastructure development. We touched on this the last time, but where I'm going with this question is, if you put this side by side, because I've seen comparison, before now, the 8 years of Buhari and maybe the 16 years of the PDP, there's been an argument between PDP supporters and APC supporters in terms of infrastructure. Is there an argument here, Paul?
Well, for me, it's important to lay background to first know what President Buhari has done. And before we now talk of what we have seen in the 8 years of PDP, 16 years of PDP, in fact, comparison, I have comparison concern because we can't be comparing 8 years with 16 years. Mm. They are purely not the same period.
It's not fair.
But if we are talking of 8 years of Buhari and 8 years of Obasanjo, then that would make more sense. Mm. Even in that comparison, the time are not the same. But of course, what we can compare, we go beyond infrastructure because infrastructure is not the only thing in the economy.
Right.
There are other things you need to compare. What economics is comfortable with comparison with the macroeconomic variables, which would be what is happening to inflation, what is happening to unemployment, what is happening to income, what is happening to poverty, what is happening to growth.
Other variables. Those are the things. Numerous variables. Yes, you're right.
Variables that economic would be comfortable to compare. But let's go straight to it. President Buhari got to office. As at that time, Nigeria has narrow gauge on the railway. Narrow gauge is that single old line we've always had. So he met that in office. Then also met Abuja-Kaduna rail line that is yet to be completed. Goodluck Jonathan has done 60 and in some cases 70% of the job. President Buhari did not only complete that, he started Lagos-Ibadan. From start to finish. It started Wari Itakpe from start to finish. These are now standard gauge. That means it has both lanes completely different. In fact, there was no track of what that was existing at the time. So President Buhari started all those and completed them. We also had what we call Lagos-Ibadan Expressway, which of course PDP administration or administration before PDP, Lagos-Ibadan Express has always been there, but to dualize it and make it a good, to serve the capacity that the road require, it's important that that road is dualized and completely done. We saw the effort by President Obasanjo. We saw the effort by Yar'Adua. And more importantly, Goodluck Jonathan, again, President Buhari came and completed the project. The second Niger Bridge, we might quickly forget that we were still using the old Niger Bridge. Just yesterday, the Minister of Works and Housing said, we're going to commission the road before President Buhari leaves office. So the second Niger Bridge is one major project for me that goes beyond just government executing, but unifying the country. Because whether we like it or not, there is a section of this country, based on even political appointment and all those, that must be integrated into our economy. We cannot speak less of what is going on within the eastern part of Nigeria, because we say we are one. So even though I'm not an evil man, but the truth is we must find a way to integrate everybody. That is what makes us a country. We are not strong in our division. We are strong as one. We are strong together. Our numbers is incomplete if a local government is out of our country. So for me, infrastructure, you know, I also saw a unique partnership between, which I think is novel anyway, between the government, federal government, and private sector. I don't know, but you are in Lagos. I'm currently speaking with you from Kano, but you are in Lagos. I'm sure you have seen Apapa Oshodi that Aliko Dangote constructed. You
That's
know,
right.
This is one of the innovation that was suggested to government, and government used tax credit, you know, to construct that road. And I think beyond comparison, how we Senator Bola Ahmed Tinubu administration listen, you know, to quality advice, because at the end of the day, what matters is when you carry your green passport outside Nigeria, will you be respected or will you be seen as an immigrant? Will you be seen as an expatriate or as an immigrant? The policy of country of the government of your country will determine if the world knows that you want to japa, that is why your green passport gets to the other border, then you'll be seen as an immigrant. But when they know that there is relative economic growth, which of course is translating to development, which of course is the economy of your country is not badly battered, then they know that you are not just an immigrant, you are an expatriate. So for me, if you also see number of schools, the private schools that President Buhari, even though it's very low, very, very low, and when you look at hospitals, rehabilitation, and so on and so forth, under President Buhari, it's also very, 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 very low under his administration. So to compare it now with your question,
before we get into Paul, before we get into the comparison, I'd like to chip in a few things. How about in the area of housing?
Housing, even though the minister once said, "Oh, there is no data," I think there is data that showed in 2013 that Nigeria had 17 million housing gap. I think what the federal government has done, you know, because when we talk about government, we are talking of federal, state, and local. There are three levels. So, but what the federal government has done in terms of contribution is very poor, you know, extremely poor, compared to what is required. But you know, what has state government done? What has local government done? You know, this is my argument regarding the economy. And in fact, to even combat our insecurity, Ikeja is the capital of Nigeria. The level of insecurity in Ikeja, it will be very low. So that's where the governor is, and who wants to dare the governor? Or level of insecurity in Abuja will be very low, because that's where the president is. But go to local government. For people listening to us in Ogun State, if they have some level of insecurity, what parts of the state? You see, economy, growth, infrastructure in local government is extremely low, which includes houses, which includes roads, which include rail, you know, which include construction of schools, hospitals. This level of infrastructure, the level of government that should be affected the most. You must have seen some things in the news, what is happening in Zamfara, Katsina, in so many northern states. The presence of government at the local level is gradually disappearing. As it's disappearing, everybody cannot work at the city center or at the state capital. And this is the real issue. We must create local economy, even to end insecurity. We must provide infrastructure, bridges, roads, rails. We must provide them. And we will not just provide them because we want to provide them, because there is a state in Southwest that just want to show that we can also construct bridge, spent over $1 billion on a road that requires no bridge. For God's sake. Meanwhile, there are other things that people need, but they want to point to it that they also did something. So for us, what we are more concerned about is the project we want to do should impact the people directly.
Right.
It should help to reduce poverty, unemployment, and deprivation among our people.
Paul, before we move away from infrastructure, and start the comparison, you know, full blown, and then go to the telephone lines. Let me talk to you about one infrastructure that generated quite a number of ripples when it was announced, and when work was announced on that particular infrastructure. And that's the Kano Maradi rail line. A lot of people, you know, brought about the essence, you know, of that rail line from Nigeria, you know, to Niger Republic, and they're wondering of what benefit will this be. Paul, what's your thought on that? Because like you said, there are some infrastructure that, I mean, you just said it now, how well does this infrastructure impact on the people directly? How well do you think would impact on the people of Nigeria, the Kano Maradi rail line? Yes, Paul. Oh, I think we're having some connection issue with Paul there. Paul, if you can hear me, please go ahead. Let's see if we can hear you. Oh yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me
yes,
now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yeah, go on.
It's a very important infrastructure. I will tell you why.
Tell me.
It's not a priority.
Okay.
Why is it important? You see, Niger Republic is landlocked. That is if what I'm thinking is what authority is thinking, because I observe it very carefully and dispassionately.
Okay.
If we run a line from Nigeria to Niger, all imports we go into Niger, we go through Nigeria. That means the economy of Niger, which is also an import-dependent nation, in terms of finished product especially, we largely depend on Nigeria. That's a country that is sub under Nigeria. I don't know if you get my point.
But is it
a priority? It is not. There are several challenges that Nigeria as an economy is battling with. I will also give you an instance. The president, President Buhari, launched a dry port in Kaduna, you know, some years ago. What happened? Nobody is talking about it. Why has the dry port not functioned? Because the bandits just removed rail track. It is when rail track get to the dry port that the people will go there and clear. When they remove, containers were leaving Lagos. When the rail track has been removed, they went back to Lagos. So all efforts, investment in billions disappeared. Moribund. Because I said earlier, you cannot build an economy without security. And you cannot secure your people without economy. So when we think, it is not just, let it be that I put project in place. The question we will ask you is that, have you secured the project? So if you run a track from Lagos, where the port is, all the way to Niger, the question is, what guarantees that the containers for clearing we get to Niger? How do we manage incidents of banditry along the rail line? Now, even beyond goods, you saw what happened to humans on Abuja Kaduna. We spent billions of dollars. But people still don't feel safe. And this is the real conversation about economy. It is not just knowing how to buy, you know, constructing rail track and putting train on it. We must also be willing to spend to protect our people. And very, very, you know, very importantly, let me say this, Nigeria Railway Corporation has done the best providing rail, you know, making it available for people. But the Railway Commission cannot carry guns, cannot protect people. You see, inter-agency relationship.
Right.
So the agency in charge of securing people must be available to provide the quota, because this is national pride. So for Niger to, I'm not saying the project is wrong, but I'm saying that, are we ripe to provide that project?
Indeed. Paul, before we, because I like to get the thoughts of people, but let's quickly touch on what you mentioned earlier about, you know, the Buhari government working with the private sector in fixing some infrastructure like the Dangote that you mentioned. I'm also aware that MTN Nigeria has also been working with the federal government. There is this thing that they are doing now to reconstruct the Enugu Onitsha Expressway. MTN Nigeria is involved in that as well. The MTN board approved the company's participation in that scheme. So we may have other companies that will be working with the government on this that we don't know. At least we know MTN, we know Dangote. But going forward, would you say that the Buhari government has done well in working with it? Because everybody knows that infrastructure is quite expensive. It's something that everybody uses every day. So have they explored enough the resources in the private sector in fixing the infrastructure in this country?
Well, for me, I think that was a nice innovation that the government has brought in place to partner with the private sector. You mentioned MTN, even the FCT has domesticated this into estates. You know, you come, you provide the infrastructure within the estate so that we can reduce housing gap. So those are innovations that will impact generally on housing. So the FCT has even domesticated that. And I hope that many states will also copy correctly to domesticate it. You see, you cannot build an economy without a viable private sector. If you say you are not running a socialist system, except and unless you are running a socialist system where everybody's faith will be in the hands of government. And if you elect wrongly, then the whole country is doomed. So if you are not running a socialist system, if you claim you are still running a mixed economy, then you cannot do without a viable private sector. You know, what is in need for private sector is a different conversation entirely. You know, whether the actual cost of the project is what private sector gets, and
Paul, you're on hold. We can't hear you again. And just as I was about to ask you a very important question when you mentioned what is in need for the private sector, let's see if we can quickly get you back on the line. Paul, can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. We lost you when you were saying what is in need for the private sector is another thing entirely.
Yes. So what we saw, what we noticed or saw, you know, at the surface is that private sector will be paid with their tax credits. That is, when you execute a project, we are going to give you tax credits, then your subsequent taxes, it will be deducted. And especially for federal government, that is talking about your corporate income tax. It is what will be used to pay back from time to time. Now, we are not sure as to the real costs of the project. You know, we are not sure as to the real cost of the project, which we cannot verify. Right. And that's why I say it's not the conversation for today.
But isn't that better, though, compared to incessant borrowing? Because that's our next conversation as to
this
infrastructure, at what cost for the Nigerian economy? Isn't it better?
Honestly, I just completed a research work on the impact of...
Paul, you're hanging again. Paul, the hangman is here. You're hanging again. We can't hear you anymore. Okay. All right. Let's wait for Paul to get back.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now, Paul. Please go on. You were talking about research.
Okay, so I said I just completed a research that... try to determine the impact of public debt on the economy of Nigeria. That was between 1980 to 2020. You know, and I must tell you, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, and I must tell you that between 20, I must tell you that both in the short run and in the long run, the impact of public debt is not something that we should welcome. You know, as the cost of debt is even crazier than what we could imagine right now. Whoa. The cost of borrowing, the cost of servicing is crazy. So the research reveal that in the long run, it might even spell doom for the nation because of devaluation and all of those things. You know, I just completed the work, and I can tell you that government must become innovative. The government must look for means to minimize costs of infrastructure, especially. I'm not saying government should reduce what they spend on infrastructure. I'm saying government should minimize the cost, especially when the cost is not necessary. What I mean is having inflated cost of project and so on and so forth. Imagine if a nation is inflating the project and is now going out to borrow the same. It's really very crazy. And I hope that authorities will be more fair. We'll just be fair on this nation and look at what is right, you know, because you can't be borrowing, be servicing, and the money that is supposed to go to the public in terms of infrastructure is also inflated. I think it's a recipe for disaster.
I was going to talk to you about one of the innovative ways that the Buhari government has approached this. Yes, they've borrowed. They've borrowed massively. Also, they've been quite innovative in working with the private sector and even through the Sukuk bond. I'd like to get your thought on that innovation, the Sukuk bond, in fixing some road infrastructure.
Sukuk bond is also borrowing. So if you are looking at innovation away from borrowing, you just said Sukuk bond. Sukuk bond means, you know, it's a way of borrowing from
Paul, please hang on. We need to take this break now. When we return from this break, you will speak more on Sukuk bond, because I'd like to get your thoughts on it. Lagos, when we return, we'll get your thoughts as well on our infrastructure conversation this morning. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Beautiful people of Lagos, welcome back to the Morning Crossfire. I'm really interested in our conversation on infrastructure, because it's so wide, it's so large that I figure that we're just scratching the surface with 1 hour that we have devoted to it, but we can't go beyond now. So we're going to make it very short and straight to the point from now on, so we can get your thought on your assessment of the infrastructure. I have a list of the projects done by this government. We can't go through them, but I can give you a website that you can go and check for you to have a feel of what this government has done in terms of infrastructure. So you can have a better understanding of why this particular conversation is very, very important. I've been speaking with an individual that you can call on him anytime you want to talk about the economy. He's the man to go to in terms of this. Paul Alaji joins us via Zoom this morning. You can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube. And let us know what you think. Paul Alaji is a senior economist and partner at SPM Professionals. Paul, thank you again for joining us on the show this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's jump right in and conclude our conversation on the Sukuk bond. I was saying that it's an innovation that perhaps costs less than the other forms of borrowing.
Well, I'm not quite. Sukuk may not necessarily cost less. I think government at the time needed more money, and they considered the sector where they had not optimized, which is a religious belief that Muslims especially should not collect interest. So, and in the market and in the debt market across the world, there is a way they see gets Muslims to invest in government interests through Sukuk. So instead of interests, it has a different name. It's called returns, you know, on the investments, because they believe that they are doing this together with government. So it was a well-packaged document. Innovation, yes, but is it an alternative to debt? No. It's strongly rooted in debt. It's part of my research work. So Sukuk, it is a form of debt that government, it's part of our debt profile, actually. It's part of what we are owing today. So but I must say that it is nice that, of course, we are bringing all sectors together in the debt market, and Nigeria optimized that window. It's just very unfortunate that we don't have capacity to service our debt enough. I'm not saying we have defaulted in service, but I'm saying that after servicing, what is left is worrisome. IMF staff report reviewed, and it's important that you check that report, that by 2025, 2026, we might find it even difficult to service our debt based on the trajectory we started under President Buhari. I am hoping that the next administration we take a departure, in energy towards revenue. Mm. And also in doing that, it will not be to tax Nigeria to a stupor.
I was going to come to you on that, really, about what would you suggest the best approach for the incoming administration, to take towards infrastructure and at the same time, debt management. What would you, advise?
Well, I have written extensively on what I think administration should do. So some of the write-up I've made are in the public domain. First is that the National Bureau of Statistics, the agency of government, has continued to report where Nigerians' money are. And I must tell you that some of the things they've written is near accuracy. There are sectors that have been growing since 2019, especially they grew better than others in 2020. In this new digital age that we found ourselves, these sectors are returning trillions of naira, not billions, trillions of naira, in revenue and something near that in profit, even though that may not necessarily be declared by them.
Right.
The challenge government have had by federal and state remains, how do we collect revenue from those who are making so much and where our population spent? That technology is not yet in the hand of government. And I hope that government will partner, because when you look at seven sectors in Nigeria, it's enough for government to increase revenue from seven sectors to increase revenue by 30 to 40%. But if the due diligence is done, government can actually increase federal government revenue to about 30 trillion naira per annum. Mm. This is far bigger, more than double of our budget for 2023. So I hope that authorities will look at where this money is. That is providing much needed infrastructure to our citizens.
Indeed. Paul, let's go here from Lagos on our conversation this morning. And then when we take one or two calls, I'll come to you on how you would describe the commitment to infrastructure development, albeit at a cost, commitment to infrastructure development of the APC than the previous government of the past. That would be my next line of question to you. Lagos, let's hear your thought now on our conversation this morning, okay? That's 01-277-0993, 01-277-2993, 01-277-1993, and 01-277-3993. Female-only line is 01-465-71-90 for the female callers. And the female callers only. WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherif.
Good morning.
My name is Chika.
Welcome.
Well, let me appreciate your guest. He has spoken well on the issue of infrastructural development by President Muhammadu Buhari. Well, for me, it's neither here nor there, because when you look at the cost of the providing these infrastructures and the amounts we've actually borrowed and how we intend to pay them, it actually raises a lot of concern. But on this issue of a second Niger bridge, there's something I want to chip in. The second Niger bridge is actually a partnership between federal government, Anambra State government, and Delta State government. Because I know the Anambra State government, I think they provided about 10% counterpart funding, same as Anambra. And I think federal government provided about 20%, and the rest is being handled by private sector. So for me, I don't think that the credit alone should go to administration of President Muhammadu Buhari, because it's actually a joint project between four entities. So that is that for me. On the issue of Lagos-Ibadan Expressway, my question is that how long is it going to take for them to actually complete that project? And on the issue of rail line, which he has spoken to, why is it that in all this rail line, in all this construction, none can be linking to the entire Southeast? I think it is an issue to a question mark. Good morning.
Good morning to you too, Chika. Paul, I would come to you on the allusion he made about being a partnership, the second Niger Bridge. I'll come to you for confirmation there. Kenneth is joining us, so let's speak with Kenneth, who is calling from Festa. Kenneth, hi. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I want to approach this thing in a scholar, in a scholarly approach. Yeah, if you go to internet, maybe you type two types of infrastructure, you will see that there are two major types of infrastructure. which is the hard or physical infrastructure and the soft infrastructure. I think this administration focused more on physical, that's hard infrastructure, than putting more efforts to improve the soft infrastructure. The physical infrastructure are the roads, the railway, the bridges and all those things, but the soft infrastructure are the health, the education, the general well-being, the human capital development, but they focus more on the hard infrastructure, leaving the soft infrastructure that will activate development, that will activate growth. It's like you get a computer. If you get a computer, computer comprises the hardware and the software. No matter how you design the hardware, even if you like, use the good to design the hard drive, use the server to design the ROM. But without the software, that computer is nothing. It amounts to nothing. So, but here they focus more on hard infrastructure,
right.
Leaving the soft infrastructure, leaving our education, leaving right. our health, leaving our human capital development, all drilling down.
Point is noted. We'll still talk about education. We'll talk about health. Those are other areas that we'll talk about. But now we're talking about the hard infrastructure.
Hard infrastructure.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about. Thank you, though. Thank you for calling, Paul. Let's quickly before I pick other calls and before other thoughts come in. I am very sure that it's public knowledge that President Jonathan in 2014 laid the foundation of the Second Niger Bridge. President Buhari picked it up as he picked up other projects by his predecessor as well. I haven't come across it anywhere that project is. Please educate me some more, as Chika alluded to it, that it's a partnership between some states and the government.
Say it again. I'm not sure I heard your last comment.
Yeah, the caller said that Second Niger Bridge is a partnership between the federal government and some state government, that some state government provided counterpart funding towards the construction of that project, Second Niger Bridge. And I'm saying that I have not read it anywhere, you know, where it stated that it's a partnership between federal government and state government.
Well, we need to find out from the ministry of the Ministry of Works to provide, yes. So, because, you know, this is mass media, it's important that what we are saying is accurate.
That's right.
And that somebody who plays significant role, you know, in this, I'd like to be very mindful of what I've said, you know. So that will be my response to it. What is important for me is that infrastructure is provided for the people, especially people of the Southeast. Because except and unless we don't live in Nigeria today, we know that there is so much need for us to unite this country, especially people in the Southeast. There are more benefits that should be taken to the people of the region. And we must be one. We must find means and ways to make our country united. That's my opinion. But you know, it's a comment that has been made by the caller. It's important that we verify to even know at what percentage it's contributed. But what I can tell you is that government, whether with the involvement of state or not, it's important that we state that yes, we have seen more of, we have visibly seen the contribution of the federal government, you know, on that, in that regard. But we need to further verify whether what is the level of involvement of the private sector and the state. So, but if that is the case, honestly, I will tell you, it is a real welcome development, because Anambra State and Delta State are direct beneficiary of that project, because it's going to link trade between the two states and it will promote economic development amongst them. You know, speaking to the other question, somebody asked about the cost of some of these projects. I mentioned it, and I said, well, we need to do more, you know, regarding the cost of our project. When you compare them with what is obtainable even outside this environment, it's important that we look at that. You know, I did a research, and I was comparing the impact of debt on the economy. And I must tell you that the impact of debt is less than 10%. On our economy. You know, what you should have, not less than 90, is actually less than 10%. So what we have used the debt to do, even though the answers are beyond the scope of this conversation, that is why I really don't want to digress into discussing all that. Maybe whenever you talk, and we need to speak more about the Nigeria debt distribution, then we can look at what has taken our monies away, and why is it that with all the monies we have borrowed, the impact is not felt directly by the people much as they should.
10%, Paul, that's quite abysmal. That's really, really not good enough.
You know why?
Yeah.
You know why? When you look at the growth of debt in the last 8 years, it's about 27% on the average. When you look at the growth of the economy, it's about 7%. It's about 2.7% on the average. So when your economy is growing really slow and you continue to borrow and your debt is not impacting on the growth, so people will feel dissatisfied. After today, if President Buhari is to hand over to the president-elect, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, if he's to hand over to him, he will also be receiving a debit check of between 70 to 77 trillion naira.
That's right.
That is what. It was just yesterday that the National Assembly got back to Debt Management Office regarding the ways and means. In many people that don't know the meaning of ways and means, the advances that the Central Bank of Nigeria has given to federal government, it was supposed to be only 5% of the previous year's revenue. Mm-hmm. The Central Bank of Nigeria has gone above that region, going into 20 trillion of naira given to government. When you calculate at 21% originally before this amendment, 21% of that, it means Nigeria is servicing that debt, only that debt, on daily basis with over 10 billion naira. So as soon as once you sleep and wake up, 10 to 13 billion naira goes into service.
Gone.
Of ways and means on daily basis, not on monthly basis, not on weekly basis, on daily basis. So where is the impact? You mean that we will collect money in taxes and revenue and use it to service debt? It's crazy.
So something is quite troubling here, Paul. And here is a population that is growing and not slowing down. And the more your population grows, the more pressure you have on infrastructure, and you have an economy that you have alluded to, Paul, earlier, about we're not generating income enough. And you also pointed, in the direction of how government can, improve revenue generation. Here comes another administration that we can only speculate how they would approach in especially infrastructural development. Do you see the incoming administration picking up? This time, we're focusing on infrastructure development, picking up from where Buhari will stop.
Well, I think that the energy of President Buhari is very low regarding infrastructure. It is insufficient to the population. Let me say this. By 11:59 p.m. today, 60,000 children would have been welcomed to Nigeria only for today. Tomorrow, 60,000 on the average. Fortunately, and some listener may say unfortunately, only 1.2% of them may die. That is, those guys are coming to stay. There is nothing you can do about it. They are coming to stay. So in the next 40 years, in fact, not up to 40 years, in the next 27 years, that will be 2050. I saw Nigeria Agenda 2050, government wrote about infrastructure, But by that time, our population will be 400 million. How old would we be, the two of us, having this conversation in the 27 years? How old would we be?
Yeah.
Which road will our children use? Those that are listening to us this morning, in their cars, in their homes, where will they be in 27 years? 400 million. What will Lagos look like? You think you have traffic now? We are joking. 27 years. You can take a flashback 27 years ago. How old were we 27 years ago? And what was Lagos like 27 years ago? What was Abuja like 27 years ago? What was Ogun State like? In the next 27 years, the population of Lagos may double. What will happen on Third Mainland Bridge in the evening? Will it be traffic from beginning to the end? This is why, the planning, it will go beyond Senator Bola Ahmed Tinubu. But one thing is, are we going to have a plan? And this plan, are we going to start implementing it? Are we going to pass a law on our national development plan such that irrespective of who comes to office, it will not be able to depart from that plan? Not that somebody comes and say he wants to start his own. It will not be a plan like economic recovery and growth plan that has no financial strategy on how to achieve it. That is why it failed under President Buhari. Now we have 2021 to 2025 economic plan that we are in right now. It's not achieving the aim. That plan is not new. We are currently in the middle of it. By 2050, 400 million people, road, which school, which hospital, which education, which technology, who will provide our mobile phones? Who will feed us? Which food? Which farm? Which clothes are we going to wear? Imagine all of us importing PMS by 2050.
God forbid, Batty. You say, Paul. Paul, let's be going before we delve into another realm. We have to go now. Look, I think we have a long way to go, like you have said, in terms of infrastructure. We've not even started, like you have said. We're crawling, so we're not moving fast enough. But thank you so much, Paul Alaje, for joining us on the show today. It's been quite informative listening to you. Thank you.
Thank you so very much for having me.
Lagos, that's our show. I'm Sharif. I'll see you tomorrow at 5. Bye for now.
Moves must be made. My people just to work hard. Dreams and...
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, they're fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not sure.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, they're fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not sure.
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, they're fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not sure.